Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Unpopular. We're getting back into the reality TV this week. I think the last few episodes have kind of been about what's going on with me and my travels and my thoughts on different places and ranting and all of that. This week, I've got Glenn from Rare Candy back on the show. He does my Love is Blind kind of season recaps every single season. I think this is the fourth one that we've done together. We also talk about California and fast food and all of those things. And next week, Brandy and Julie will be back on. They were supposed to come on this week, but then we couldn't schedule it. They'll be back next week to do the Valley. So that'll be a good one as well. And also, if you want more Valley tea, head over to my Patreon, patreon.com/unpopularjp. I did go to the Valley premiere party. I was with Heather McDonald, so I got all the juice. I was with Brandy and Julie, actually. I got a photo with Tom Sandoval, the whole thing. So that is on Patreon. And yeah, let's just get into it, guys. Thanks for listening. And, you know, leave me a review, share the pod, all of the usual stuff. And everything is in the show notes, including the links to Glenn's show. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Hey, yeah, I'm, you know, you were kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm going to cover it this year. I'm like, no, you're covering it. Let's go.
That was so funny because, you messaged me and you were like, yo, are we recording Love is Blind? And I'm like, this is the first time I haven't, you know, had to chase you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's weird. I remember back in the day you reached out, it must have been over 2 years ago, and I was like, we'd talked and whatever, and you were like, hey, you should watch this, it'll be funny, you know, as like a straight guy, you're gonna like watch it and stuff. I'm like, yeah, so funny, I'll just watch it like as a bit, and I'm obsessed. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 seasons later.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm in the US now, in your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm. It's a big state, so we're at like polar opposite ends of it pretty much, but yeah, I guess compared to where we were before, distance wise it is closer.
Yeah, I'm getting closer, like a stalker inching my way towards you and Si.
That's fine. I would love for you to go to Portland to see how weird that place is, because where he's at, oh my lord.
Is that where he is? Is he in Portland?
He's a Portland guy. Yeah.
Is he isn't he in like the woods or something? I feel like
Look, if it was up to him, he would be. I think he definitely, that's the end game. He's from California, where we grew up, you know, by each other and everything, but he ended up settling in Portland, and it's like, dude, that place, the Fred Armisen and all that stuff's all real. It's all real, but not funny.
Well, yeah. I know Antifa's from there. I feel like that's the Antifa HQ, and then there's like a lot of weed, because I think they've got weed or weed farming or something there, right? Or am I thinking of somewhere else?
I don't know. Their vibe seems like way more like weird anarchist, like meth kind of situation. Like, that's kind of their vibe. I don't get a weed vibe when I go. I'm sure they do. Why not? But yeah.
Yeah, like the Purge or something. Like everyone's
Very strange. Very strange stuff going on up there. They're saying is keep Portland weird, and they do a good job, I guess.
Well, it suits Si, because he's like the fucking weirdest person ever.
He is, and even he'll be like, bro, Portland, man.
Where are you again? You said you're at the Bay, but I don't even know what the Bay is.
South
is
it Bay, San Jose, South Bay. It's like where all the big tech capital, you know, kind of.
Is that near San Francisco?
About 40 miles. Yeah, not too far. About an hour away from San Francisco. Down south, like in between San Francisco and like Monterey, basically.
Okay, so where you are, is that away from, because I mean, I never know what's true, because you get like the Fox News version of like California all the time, where they act like the buildings are like burning down. It's like constant riots 24/7 and like, you know, migrants with machine guns. Are you near all the like, you know, like the crackheads and stuff that are in San Fran, like breaking into cars? Or are you kind of like the safe part that's like away from all that shit?
Yeah, there's definitely action in my city. I mean, I know my city real well. San Francisco is interesting because it's still San Francisco, it's, there's still elements of like Vertigo, Hitchcock, San Francisco that are still around that are still really nice and cool. The city across the bay is Oakland, and that place has become Escape from like New York bad. It's weird. The conservatives do San Francisco, I think, because of like the progressive, like gay, like all the, like they, and it's the hub. It's a real hub of the West Coast along with LA. But like Oakland, it's like all the stuff they're saying truly is Oakland. Like Oakland is just like just piles of burning, so like Samuel Delaney stuff going on everywhere, just gross. I love the place. I'm wearing the team hat. I mean, like, I love the place, but it's a shithole. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I looked up Oakland actually because I really like Keisha Cole, the R&B singer, and I think she's from Oakland. And
she absolutely is. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking it up recently, and I was watching people do like drive, like, you know, people just with a GoPro or whatever on their car and like driving through like some of the bad areas. It looked like pretty sketchy. I was like, I don't want to really go there. Bad.
There's an element that always was bad. Like East Oakland, it was always like really bad. It was always kind of like, even the people from there, it's like, look, I love it. It's my home, but I want to get the hell out of there. And then there's, but like every part of Oakland, and they hired a bunch of, I mean, they elected a lot of like super forward thinking, progressive, like uber progressive politicians that were just didn't really care about crime in any sense. And also were super harsh on in the COVID stuff too. So that really will wreck a city. Nobody really, I mean, it's weird. Jack Dorsey moved his company there. He's the only person to move there. But, and he has that square company, the touch play. I think it's called Toast now, but like the little like Toast Pay thing, like that you do at the where you tap your card and it's like just a little square piece and stuff. He has that company. He's the only person I've seen move to Oakland. Like everybody else is getting the hell out of there.
Well, I thought everyone was moving to like Wyoming and shit because it's got like less taxes.
Hey man, I might have to. I mean, I've lived here forever, and like now I like Nevada. Nevada's got no state income tax. I like that.
Well, the taxes are killing me. It's so fucking expensive here. And you mentioned COVID fucking shit up. I have to say, coming from Australia and then coming here, and then, you know, I'm in Uber because I can't even fucking drive. I'm in LA and I don't know how to drive. I'm going to learn soon, but I'm getting Ubers everywhere and they're real fucking chatty. I mean, there's an option where you pay more and you can do like quiet ride. Like, I get why that's there because like they literally will not shut the fuck up unless you pay the extra and do quiet ride. But I'm hearing like heaps of stories because, you know, when they know that I'm from out of town, then inevitably the homeless issue comes up and they're all saying, yeah man, like it was always pretty bad, but then like once COVID hit, it just fucks stuff up like so bad. Now I feel like I'm getting all these like firsthand stories of the damage of COVID in that sense. And I had a friend that was in downtown LA and he said it was, you know, like Walking Dead. I mean, I think it's starting to get like cleaned up a bit now, but I feel like it's another one of those things from the COVID years that we just, you know, sweep aside and act like that didn't happen. I feel like that when people are talking about the homeless crisis and the crime and, you know, people in the streets and getting kicked out of their houses and stuff, it's like the COVID part of it, like, isn't really in the conversation. It's like, why aren't we fucking talking about that as another like side effect of this shit?
Yeah. And just, you know, you figure all the bad habits that were developed, and like some people, you know, developed like bad drug addictions during COVID. Now, is that all lockdown's fault? No, I mean, you made the decision to become, you know, addicted or whatever, but it probably, even if you were already living that lifestyle, it got enhanced, you know, it got escalated, I should say, by all the lockdowns and all that, and just the fact that people were isolated, lonely. And you're seeing 4 years later, people living that type of lifestyle for 4 years, especially like in Oakland, you could see some people that you're like, oh, you haven't been homeless that long. Like you haven't been like, and they're like feral and aggressive. Some of them too, like it's just because God knows what they're actually consuming. And it's sad to see, because you can see someone who's probably like 26, you know, and just completely thrown away. Now, again, there's definitely some personal buy into that. Not everyone had that, but there's a lot of bureaucratic nonsense that accelerated it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you read Diary of a Psychosis by Tom Woods, or have you heard of that?
No. Sounds okay,
well,
great though.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read it yet either, but I've listened to some podcasts on it where he's promoting it, and he goes like a diary entry fucking bit by bit of the whole pandemic, of every fucking, like, every screw up, every single thing that they said that turned out not to be true. And he's been out promoting it. It looks fucking awesome. And, you know, he's saying, you know, people forget even, like, the small things and the ways that we were lied to and how important it is to document it. And I'm excited to read it because, like, I've definitely moved on from the COVID thing. I felt like I had, like, you know, trauma from it from a while and, uh-huh. you know, how I was treated. And I always end up talking to you about it because that's how I found you guys. Because,
of course,
you guys were the anti-COVID people. And, like, we've all moved on to, like, other fucking issues and fucking Palestine and the election
for
and
our
stuff.
Our own sanity.
But, yeah.
For our own sanity, too. It's, yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's also, like, every time I go back to it, which isn't that often anymore, but then when I go back to it or someone reminds me of, like, oh, this study was, like, when you go back to it and you're like, wait, everything was fake. I mean, there was a virus that people got, but, like, everything was fake and every restriction, every fucking rule, every man, like, it was all bullshit. And I saw that you retweeted the iconic Vanessa Hudgens video from, like, 2020 where she's just like, you know, it's a virus. I respect it, but, like, people are going to die. It's inevitable. It's like, that was, like, the dumbest take and it was the most accurate. Like, get rid of Fauci. Like, Vanessa Hudgens, like, literally, like, solved the whole COVID pandemic in a 15-second, which was stoned on Instagram.
I know. And she does look all fucked up on in the video too. It's really good. She's just dancing around the point, and, like, I love the idea because back then it was still fresh. The hysteria was just kind of building up. If I remember that correctly, I don't think we were, like, deep into the lockdowns or anything when people were getting really religious about staying at home.
It was starting,
but, like, right away, big time Vanessa Hudgens fans were conflicted. Just High School Musical people who, I mean, do they leave their house? I don't know. I'm not hating. I never got into that stuff, but, like, maybe her fan base might have been extra sensitive to that.
Well, they were, because I remember when it happened and people were, you know, like, cancel Vanessa, because that was, like, the cancel culture in the 2020 was, like, fucking hardcore.
Over a virus.
But it was also, like, BLM and, like, everyone was going down for, like, everything, and they flipped out, and it was a bit like, man, is she getting canceled? And then I saw that clip recirculating, so I think it's, like, the 4-year anniversary of it or something like that. So it's been, like, doing the rounds on Twitter, X, and you look at all the replies and it's, like, the Stan Twitter gaze, and they're like, you know, mother spilled, like, she was right. Like, all the normie Stan Twitter people, like, they're like, yeah. She's on the money.
She was. I mean, it's true. And she was honest. She's like, look, people are going to die. I'm not saying it's fake. I'm not saying anything about it. She's like, we need to be careful how we respond to this. You know, like, we need to not ruin everything for something that some people might just kind of get over after, you know, after getting it once. Any young, healthy, like herself, young, healthy person.
Yeah, Vanessa Hudgens, Trump and Fauci and the whole fucking government. I feel like we should have kind of like a remembrance day for real. And just a day where it's like, you kind of think about, like, the dangers of government tyranny, and you have a day where you remember what the fuck they did during COVID lockdowns. You used to do whatever the fuck you want, set off, like, fireworks, like, we can go out drinking, like, whatever, and just be like, yeah, you know, like a 4th of July kind of thing, but everywhere.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Do you like, I want to ask you this, do you like LA? Because obviously it gets mixed things. I'm here now. I, like, love it, but I'm curious what you think.
I do. It's intimidating to me a little bit because it's like I don't know it that well. I've gone. I've you know, since I was a kid, been going, but I don't have that, like, crazy savant like knowledge of such a big city in my own state. So it's like I feel like it's too late for me to learn now. And it is tough getting in and out of there, man. The traffic is. It's way different than what we have up here, which is bad. But I do love it. I mean, I love LA movies. I love anybody who just makes, like, big sprawl, makes LA look like the entire world in movies, because it is that type of place, that and all the neighboring little, like, kind of suburban neighborhoods outside of it are so cool. I haven't been in years. I need to go.
Yeah, you can come visit me.
Yeah, I have so many people I can visit down there. I'm so down. Mm.
Yeah, it feels so cinematic. Like, I'm out here in Marina Del Rey, which isn't in Hollywood. And then I went back into Hollywood the other night because I went to, like, a comedy show. And it was at night. And it was, like, you could see all the hills lit up. all like the neon signs, like billboards advertising whatever new movie's coming out, like palm trees everywhere, kind of illuminated. And I don't know, man, it just feels like going to like a movie or something. It's so beautiful. And I got to say, it's so fun being here working in entertainment like I do, because I'm already kind of like getting invited to stuff. Like I went to a premiere party for this new reality show like a week ago. And then there was a producer that I'm working with. I didn't know he was going to be there. This producer I'm working on something with was there. And then, you know, I went over him to like talk about like our project. And then we're like getting dinner in like Hollywood next week. And yeah, it's like all the cliched shit. And I just like love it. And I'm going to like Air One. Like I'm doing all the like the bullshit influencer like transplant stuff. Like and just having like so much fun with it, you know?
Yeah. What they don't tell you is how fun being like a normie, like, or like the falling into a trope is, you know, like I do all the fun Bay Area stuff. I do all the fun hiking, all the things like that. I don't run. It's all fun. I mean, it is a wonderful state. The hate usually comes from either people who say it's too expensive, which is true. It is too expensive.
It's so expensive.
Or from people who are just like outside and just don't get it. I mean, there's a reason everybody moves out west to be creative, right? Whether you're making film, whether you're making technology, people move out west. It's an inspirational place. Like I always feel, even when I go to states that give me a nice break from the congestion here, when I go to other states, I don't feel nearly as creative. When I get back here, I'm like, just ideas start buzzing through my head. Maybe it's the weather, maybe it's proximity to the ocean. I have no idea.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. Every time I walk out the door and I just look at the palm trees or whatever, I'm just like so taken by it. And
yeah,
I was in New York for 2 weeks when I got here because I had to go to the New York office, and I won't rip on New York too much here because I've done like 2 podcasts just fucking popping off about how much I fucking hated it there. But like coming back here, I just like, this is where I'm meant to be. And it feels a little more like Australia, vibes here too, because we're used to kind of like nice weather and things like spread out and everything. It was so suffocating in New York and just like gross and unhealthy. And
yeah,
the whole like I'm in a Woody Allen movie thing wore off after like 3 days, and I'm like, yeah, just like get me the fuck out of here too.
No, and everybody's so intense over there, man. Every like inflammatory take I see on the internet, you'll look, it's like, it's a New York person. It's like, are you guys just under a manhole sewer cover somewhere, just tweeting weird things about fashion and like age gaps and things? Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't need to do the weird cultural New York stuff either. Like, I'm good. Like, I just want to go to like a cool like cinema here. Like I was saying last week, like I saw that they're playing Tarkovsky's Stalker in like the neighborhood next to me. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. Like, let me go, like, watch that. I don't need to go to some weird, you know, like, one-man comedy thing in a basement somewhere that, you know, someone is dressed like a fucking teapot. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, and actually, this is how we defeat neoliberalism, is me dressing up like the teapot, reading borderline slam poetry, but with statue Avi Twitter. Yeah.
Do you get all the same supermarkets where you are? Like, do you have like Gelson's and like Bristol Farms and stuff?
No, they down there they got all types of like, they have Ralph, even like the normie stuff like Ralph's down there. They have like, we don't have Erewhon, we don't have any of that. We had like the OG Whole Foods, I think, like which is still there. But no, we don't have any of those. California up here is becoming like everywhere else right now, store wise. Like, we don't have the cool niche stores anymore.
Oh my God, they have so many like high end supermarkets here, and they're fucking amazing. Like, I got obsessed with Bristol Farms last year, and now there's not one near me, but there's a Gelson's, and like, it's way overpriced. Like, everything is, but it just has like the most like beautiful food, and it's so like nice to like go in there. Like, it just feels like such a vibe. There's a Ralph's too. I mean, I go to the Ralph's for like toothpaste or whatever, but when I've got to get like, you know, food, I'm going to the bougie spots. And do you get good fast food places there? Like, do you have In-N-Out?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's number one. People want to hate on it. People want to say it's overhyped. I don't know. I still love it.
You know what's so good about In-N-Out? Because I had Shake Shack as well for the first time, which is really good. And I feel like the beef in Shake Shack tastes better, but the difference with In-N-Out is it just feels cleaner. Like, it just, I don't feel like I'm having like a heart attack and that I'm like an obese pig if I have In-N-Out, but I still feel like I get like the fast food experience, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. And then you like walk in there and everybody's got like a weird like Tim Burton family smile and you're like, oh, this is sick. Like, these people enjoy their job. Like, it's not depressing in any way. They're all young. Like, it's like, it's like the boomers idea when they're like, oh, fast food, that's a job for young people. It's like, and there it is. Like, there's nobody over like 40 at In-N-Out. Out working, and it's really cool. It's cheap. In-N-Out's cheap too. That's what nobody ever
really
talks about.
Affordable.
It's really cheap. It hasn't really. It's like it has not gone up in price that much compared to Shake Shack, Five Guys. Any of those places have gone like through the roof. So for me, bang for my buck, In-N-Out. I like the fries. People hate the fries. I love the fries.
Yeah. The fries are amazing. And don't they just like cut them from the potato there or whatever?
Telling on yourself if you don't like the fries.
Yes,
yeah. You're basically like, okay, you can't handle a potato. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point that the staff are really friendly. Now I'm thinking about it because, if you go to McDonald's, especially in like a city, even in Australia, you go to a McDonald's, they're so fucking miserable and rude and some ghetto ass like teenager. And then you go in and out and they're like, hi, can I take your order? And they have like this huge smile and they're like saying thank you and, you know, totally polite. And they've dressed like perfectly in those, you know, 1950s uniforms. Like, it's just amazing.
Dude, I tried to work at In-N-Out when I was like 22. And it was I've had way better jobs that have had less of an interview process than In-N-Out. Dude, I got a third interview and then they declined me for In-N-Out. I was like, this is insane.
That's insane. Fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's like American Idol. Like, you go there and like there's a big hall, like a big warehouse just full of people like fake smiling and they're like all trying to get this job at In-N-Out. And then like, okay, I passed the first run. They're like, cool, you know, like Ryan Seacrest wants to learn about your family and everything and the thing. I'm like, yeah, man, cool. The second interview, they're harsher in the second interview. They're kind of like, you know, can you really perform? Can you really get it done? Are you really like the In-N-Out? And then by the third time, they're like, we're going to go a different route. I'm like, and I was like, I'm never eating there again. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I didn't even have three. I seriously didn't even have like three rounds for Daily Mail. I think I had two and then I got the job. I had more like one and a half. I had a phone call and then I had the interview and then I got the job. All right, I want to talk about Love is Blind, obviously. That's why you're here. And yeah, we weren't even going to pot about it. And I think I did message you at the start and I'm like, dude. Like,
you said it was a good season and I prioritized it and you were right.
Because neither of us actually, I don't think we watched the last season. You didn't watch the last one, did you?
No.
Yeah, I started. It was actually, from what I watched, it was like pretty good, but they released like two a year and it just felt like a little like Love Overkill. Was blinded out. Yeah, I was like, I kind of need a break from it. And I almost wasn't even going to watch this one. And actually, I started on the flight from Australia coming into New York and I'd saved it on my phone. I just thought, let me just some fucking easy shit. I actually thought I was over Love is Blind, the franchise. And I watched that first drop of episodes and I was like, holy fuck, like this is going to be like the best season they've done. And you know what's crazy about this fucking season before we get into the people is like it was so conservative. Like it was like the most like trad. It was one of the most like trad traditional fucking conservative things I've seen on television in so long. There was so much talk of like God, you know, religion. Yeah. Sarah Ann coming straight out the gate as a patriot on the first date. Well, I'm that a patriot.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was everything. And like they highlight so much stuff that you don't associate with like modern dating, like in the age of like Tinder and, you know, shows like Love Island and shit like that. They're really so much like getting into like real fucking like values, like monogamy, like, you know, any form of infidelity is so frowned upon and like compromise and problem solving. And it was like, I was kind of shocked actually by it, especially because I watch a lot of the other dating shows. I'm like, man, this is like so trad, like compared to every other dating show out there.
And it's funny because you can tell at the first, everybody's like, yeah, well, you know what? Like, I'm just cool with whatever, like whatever your politics are, like I'm cool with it. Cause like, and they're desperate, right? It's like a job interview. They're kind of like desperate. And I just love how the show kind of like weeds out people trying too hard. Like after a while, it's like, okay, well, you have to live with the person. And then it eventually, all that stuff comes out, right? And I don't, not even really the politics, that stuff doesn't really come out, except for like the weird family planning people, like the people that had these like weird, that was the strange, they're the only one that got married, but like the strange, the strangest part was just the people that like maybe had a slightly nuanced opinion on like birth control. That was very strange.
Okay. I had them first, actually, because they were the most boring couple. So I want to talk about them off the jump. Like, Amy and they were so, they're a weird match. But like their whole thing was that they refused to use birth control. And I actually thought, watching half the show, I kind of thought it was fake. I'm like, look, they were really boring. They didn't really have a bit. Yeah. So maybe producers hammed that up. But as I kept watching, and then even at the reunion, I'm like, wait, this was like real. And it's like he wouldn't wear a condom. And I couldn't tell if it's like he wouldn't wear it because he just is one of those guys that's like, I can't stay hard with a rubber, like I can't wear a rubber, or if he had, he seemed, because it's like, you know, a condom is like what, 99% something, but there's like a small chance it could break. Yeah. I'm like, is he that paranoid? Like, I didn't know what it was.
It was very strange, because he pretended as though he had never heard of like safe anything. He was just like, well, girls just handled it. The ones I had before, I was like, what does that mean? You know, like that was very cryptic. He's like, it's just never something I've had to think about. He's like, but I'm deathly afraid. I'm like, well, no, I thought you would just not care. And it's like, you're getting married, and they're both like 30, you know what I mean? Like, or something like that. And she's Mexican. So it's like, you know, maybe that was what he was scared of, because, you know, happens a little. 99.9, I'd say it's about 93%. On that side, like, just, and he's like, yeah, you know, I, and she's like, well, I am not, I'm, she's kind of felt like, well, if it happens, it happens, you know, like she was kind of just doing that thing. She's like, yeah, I'm with you, but if it happens, it happens. He's like, no. And I was kind of like, is he gay? Like, in my head, I was like, is he just like kind of like going through the motions? And like, he's like, maybe we can just get married. Cause like, do you saw all their little couple TikTok things that they did after? I was like, and he was, seemed like the architect of all of those.
Yeah. So they were like doing each other's hair and shit.
And I was kind of like, I was like, is he trying to like have a sexless marriage, Loki? That's kind of what I thought he was trying to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, he was like a, I don't know, man. He looked like a fucking Cabbage Patch doll, or like a Chucky doll kind
strange.
Of.
Strange. A strange looking man.
Mm-hmm. And he talked, he spoke kind of like a motivational speaker or something. Like, it never felt natural, but I just think that's him. The one thing I liked about them was that she was way hotter than him. And I kind of just thought it was cute. Like, the average guy managed to get, you know, a hot, you know, a girl out of his league just based on personality. I'm like, oh, that's nice. It gives some people some hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was a win for the boys, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll give them that. They were just so, you can tell. I do think the producers are like, this is going to be the one person that gets married. Like, really? I do. I think the season did not go the way the producers wanted it to, for sure. Like, you got to have at least three marriages, or at least three, like, 3 to 4 altar things.
Yeah.
Like kind of all, it doesn't have to be a marriage, but at the altar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, totally. Okay. Wait, who do I want to talk about next? Yeah. Clay and AD and Matthew. Okay. So if you guys didn't watch it, there was kind of this love triangle at the start. There was this black couple, Clay and AD, but before she went with Clay, she was chatting to this weird guy called Matthew, who, again, we talked, I think, last time you were on here, about half the cast are autistic, and they just seemed to cast autistic people on this, and he was, like, spurging the fuck out. Kind of, like, at all times. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I got so caught up. Like, before, they had, like, a reveal where it turned out that he was telling another girl the same stuff that he was telling AD, and it was this big, like, plot twist of, like, when he's not genuine. But before that happened, I was rooting so hard for her to, like, I was, like, fucking crying on the plane over here watching that. I was like, they're, like, my Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, he was 37. And he just was like, look, I'm just here for analytical purposes. Like, I'm here for data points. I just want data points. I'm logging this in. If something happens, it happens. And then he got like super emotional after a while. Like, he would get like really into it. And yeah, he was fun. I had a feeling it wasn't going to get outside the pods, though. Like, I had a feeling, because I don't know, that works. He kind of seemed like a guy who was trying to do some PUA, like pickup artist stuff at first. And I was like, yeah, that does work for like picking up at times. Like, don't get me wrong, but like, I don't know how long that plays for. And he wasn't a bad looking guy.
He looked like he had a good, like, he looked like a hot nerd because he had, like, you know, worked out
Clark
and
Kent,
stuff.
Little,
Clark
Kent, yeah.
He had the Clark Kent thing. I kind of felt like, I thought maybe he was, like, taking the piss. Like, I thought he was, like, having a joke with some of this data point stuff, but they were kind of editing the humor out of it to make him look weirder. And they had a thing right at the start, I think, where he, like, walked out on a girl, like, mid-date. I don't think that happened. I reckon that's just straight up editing.
Yeah. No, because we didn't get her reaction back at the house. She would have been like, he just walked out in the middle of it. You know, like, because remember when What's-Her-Face fell asleep on the dude two years ago? Like, we heard all about
that.
It. Yeah, we heard all about it. All
that was a whole season storyline. It never stopped.
Exactly. No, yeah, I'm totally with you. That was edited that way. Because, like, that would be sick. That would be, like, true autism. Like, this is uninteresting. And then just walking outside. Like, that would, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's yeah, for sure. Well,
He came out and said on like Instagram or whatever after, he said he was an alcoholic and that he just went sober right before doing the show. And he said that was the first time he had had to connect with women emotionally without alcohol. So that's how he explained it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's interesting.
He refused to go to the reunion too. So I'm like, I'm wondering, is he going to be like the next Love is Blind lawsuit? He might join Nick. Yeah. And yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then the big twist, like, when at the reunion, when AD went on, like, two dates with him after the show, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he left an impression, you know? You can't say he didn't leave an impression.
I think she was curious to date a white guy because she said she never had before. And, like, I don't know, she seemed like she was, like, falling in love with him before that plot twist. Like, she was
Clay was playing so many games. Oh, I mean, he was, I mean, we'll talk plenty about Clay.
No, let's talk about Clay, because I don't know what your take on him was, but obviously when I started watching him from the start, I thought, okay, there's not really anything to this guy. He's just a player. And I felt like the layers to his story, and they really slowly came out, but as they kind of got more into, you know, his dad cheating on his mom, and then you had the scene with his parents at the wedding, like,
yeah,
that was
incredible.
I was like fucking tears. I was like, this is like the realest shit I've seen.
His dad looked like Harry Belafonte too. Yeah. It was crazy. I was like, this is nuts, like old school, like Sidney Poitier era, like Harry Belafonte.
Oh, yeah, totally. He was so smooth. And when the mom was like, you know, you weren't good to me, like, you were a good guy, but you weren't good to me or whatever. And then again at like the reunion, when, you know, AD is trying to be strong woman and Clay kind of launches into his whole thing about, you know, being a black man and there's so many broken homes with the dads cheating on the moms and he never had that example. And at first she has her guard up and she's like rolling her eyes, like, give me a break, dude. And then he's like, he starts crying and getting emotional, and then she like softens up, but then she goes back into her like girl boss thing at the end, like, nah, dude, like, at the end of the day, you had your chance. Like, he was such a surprise to me.
And then their entrepreneur ass like relationship, I was like, kill me. That part, I was kind of rooting for them. My wife's favorite is AD. She really liked AD.
I loved AD.
And I do too. I think she's great. Clay was just, I could tell, like, both of those people, I could just see these like arguments. It's like, your assets are my assets. Like all these like weird like kitchen arguments that would ensue from all that. I was like already feeling nauseated about that, and like them keeping their finances all separate from each other and stuff.
Well, he was bringing that up. That's more him, not her. Like,
yeah, I just mean it. I know that's where it would go though. Like, I know. And like, let's be real. Like, he basically was saying, he's like, I'm going to cheat on you. Yeah. Like, he kept saying it
constantly.
Yeah. And it's like, if a guy, that's literally the only hang up too. It wasn't her. I didn't seem like anything with her, but he's just like, hey, I think it's genetic. Yeah. Like, I did, like, my dad used to bring me to the events, to the meetups, the little hookups. Like, he's like, my dad used to bring me there, which is crazy, but he used that's to so bring him up. There.
Well, yeah, he was holding on to that his whole life. Apparently he'd never told, like, his mom, that was the first time she found out about it during the show. Yeah. And then she had to face the father about it on camera. I was like, yeah, it was one of those things where, like, his whole cheating thing at first, I'm kind of like rolling my eyes, like, dude, fuck off. Like, why are you even here if you can't be faithful? You're just using this as an excuse because you're a player. But you know, by the end of the season, like, I really brought into the whole generational trauma thing. And, you know,
I mean, if your dad took you to his little link ups, like, that's gotta be, and, or you're just like, you're fearful. I mean, look, he did seem like a player, like, under all of it. Those guys are all, like, real sensitive guys like that. Like, those like habitual player. I don't know anything about him. I didn't look at his social media or anything. I'm sure it's really professional and, like, business rise and grind, yeah. but I have a feeling he's like, yeah, he plays that game. Like, and it's just, at least he didn't, you know, he definitely wasted her time at the altar. Though the producers, I'm sure the producers were like, sick, we got one, you know, we got one L for somebody at the altar. That. You gotta have one.
Oh my God, the best moment was when, because I was obsessed with AD's mom and all the advice.
Oh, she was cool.
She was everything.
Yeah, she and was
then,
great.
And then when he said no, like, she said something like, we done here, baby. And then they like walked off together.
Yeah, AD's mom used to look like she was in like an R&B group that got popular the same time as Janet Jackson, but nobody's heard of. Like, everyone, she's like, no, we were like right behind Janet Jackson. Everyone's like, what? Like, she seemed like from like that era of like R&B. She seemed like she did that. I was like, is she like?
Yeah, she auditioned for Vanity 6 back in the day or something.
Yeah,
Mary Jane,
yeah,
there Girls you go. Didn't make the cut, but she did some
almost.
Backup.
Yeah. She's like, it was politics. It was just.
Yeah, no, I felt like with Clay, again, with the conservatism of the show, he seemed to be really chasing the American dream, the old school American dream, in the fact that, you know, he wanted to be successful and like entrepreneurial and like make money, but he kind of wanted that classic, like, I want that white picket fence and the wife and the family and the job. And, you know, but I don't know how to do it. And I was a player early on, and I'm, you know, I want to be this like good Christian man. It was just really interesting. And like AD was, I was obsessed with AD, loved everything about her. I loved her. So curious what you think as a straight guy. I loved her like flirty, like, you know, slutty,
oh, yeah,
feminine voices she would put on. Like, what did you?
No, for sure. You could tell the minute she was like, oh, yeah, I'm a dancer for like NBA teams. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Just immediately, I was like, yeah. And she's like, I've never been with a white guy. Yeah. I mean, you do. Look at your playing options most of the time. Like, yeah, you're not going to be too many there. But yeah, no, it was funny. Like, she, and I was laughing about Clay's, sister too, like the like septum ring.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was just like, what's the deal with that? Like, you have one brother who's like rise and grind, you know, supreme kind of dude and stuff, and then all of a sudden you have the sister who's just like soft spoken,
listening to Summer Walker and chilling.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, totally true. Yeah, I was just like, that's strange. And his mom, like, cool. She looked like she was like a senator in California or something, like, yeah, some like progressive senator in California. She looked like real, like, yeah, in charge of
like
the,
Barbara
everything.
Lee energy.
Yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that short, the high and tight short gray hair. Yeah, I was like, man, I was like, she looks like she's on it, you know, like she looks like she's raising a good family. But yeah, with AD, she definitely was flirty. And then there was that time where the guy was like, yo, she's stacked at the thing. And then she kind of just like twerked real fast. I was like, okay.
Oh, her body was crazy. I mean, well, Jimmy was gagged.
Yeah, right. No, of course. But it was just funny. Like, it's like a lot of times, like, women will just have to like, oh, deep down, they'll be like, sick, I got it. But you're supposed to be like, Jimmy, you know?
Yeah, what? Be offended.
She's right there. You know, you got to like play that game. But she was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. I've got to be. Yeah. Well, I mean, the confidence, like, yeah, she was definitely my favorite. Okay. This is good. This is a quick one. That Christian couple, Brittany and Kenneth, I was, you know, the school principal and she was given the country bumpkin, Brittany. I was really into them at the start when they were,
yeah,
doing their whole Christian thing of like, we're not having sex till marriage and, you know, interracial. And I'm like, I was rooting for them so hard. I'm like, oh, I would watch a whole Christian spin-off of them just being wholesome. And then,
yeah,
that just fizzled out really quick. And, some theories were that he was gay. I thought that she just wasn't attracted to him.
I didn't think he was gay. I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just think she wasn't attracted to him.
No, and it was like, I remember he even said, he's like, well, I'm like, they both like were trying to get to the bottom, like, of who am I talking to right now? Is this a black guy or a white woman? You know, and like, obviously you can tell a little bit with the voices, but he was kind of like, okay, like, yeah, no, I'm willing to try this. And she's like, because I really wanted to get to the family say, I think her family wouldn't have been down. That's just my, because she really wanted to like, okay, if we're going to do this, I have to brief some people and have a little meeting with some people to let them know what I'm bringing home, like, kind of situation. But you're right about that. Like, that would have been so sick if they had like a little show, like, or something where he's like, no, I'll season the chicken.
Yeah.
No, like, just like,
like, wholesome those, ass. Like,
yeah, wholesome, they, like, little. Yeah, exactly.
They were so cute. Like, but before it went down in flames, I was just like, oh, this is, you know, this is healing America. Like, they
but what is, like, the deal with the therapy speak, man? I feel like therapy speak is like, it's always been on the show a little bit, but it was always like a couple of people, like the little skinny white girl that got married last time, the blonde girl that got married to the black dude from, or two seasons ago, they were at the reunion and everything.
Chelsea and Kwame.
Chelsea, she had the therapy speak, but she was a speech pathologist, so I was like, okay, whatever, maybe that's just bringing work home, basically. But everybody was like, and this is growth, and what you're doing is growth, and like, just this Issa Rae therapy speak that was just bothering the hell out of everyone was doing it.
No, 100%. But I think that's the kind of person that they cast. Like, you mentioned the rise and grind, they always have a few rise and grinds on there. Like, it seems
they're all influencers probably at this point, right?
I don't think they're all influencers. I think it's like a mixture. I think you just have a couple, but I think the therapy speak comes in naturally because, one, when you're doing those confessionals with the producers, they're probably talking a little bit like that, like, well, how do you feel the growth of your, you know, what is he, does he have high emotional intelligence? Like, they're probably saying that, so then you start saying it back. But then at the same time, like, this is like a concentrated experiment, and a lot of them do seem to take it seriously. I mean, they pointed out the reunion, I think they've got like 9 couples still together, which for a dating show is like crazy high odds. Like,
pretty good. Yeah.
Dating shows usually, I mean, if you look at like the Bachelor's ratio and stuff, like, and Love Island, etc., like, this is by far like the most successful. So, you know, I think the people going in are just taking it seriously. Yeah, Jeremy, Laura, and Sarah Ann. So I'm so fucking team Sarah Ann, straight up. I don't think she did anything wrong throughout the whole show. And when she arrived, I guess for people that don't know, I'll explain it. Basically, there was a love triangle in the pods before they got out, and this weird fucking dork, Jeremy, that had 2 women somehow in love with him, Laura and Sarah Ann, and he ended up choosing Laura, and Laura was just this, like, ball-busting fucking bulldozer of a woman, and that didn't work out, and then he kind of started pursuing things with Sarah Ann, and one of the first times where everyone got together was this barbecue, and I felt like they set up the whole barbecue just to make Sarah Ann look bad, and they all fucking ganged up. But it felt very like the producers were like, oh, this is our villain, and we're just going to fucking do everything to make her look as bad as possible.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Is it Lauren, the one he actually...
Laura.
Yeah, Laura was the one that he actually kind of started dating, right?
He was engaged to.
See, I kind of, like, I don't think they were a match, right? I don't think they were a match. I think it was quite clear that Jeremy and her were not a match, even though that's what ended up happening. I see why it didn't work. But, like, what did she do wrong? Like, I feel like she didn't really do anything wrong either. I feel like she was, I feel like she's kind of I don't know. You saw her family. They were kind of, like, all happy to kind of give her away. Like, oh, finally, you know. But for the most part, I was kind of, like, on the show, they did say she got good edits, I think. She was one of the ones they were saying in the reunion.
Yeah.
They were saying she got good edits, but she was kind of like, she kind of laid out what she was. She's like, I'm this person. So what are you going to do? You know, like, and that's fair with me. Like, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I liked her. I didn't think she was, you know, a bitch or anything. I do think she was pushed a bit by the producers, but again, it's like kind of like what they show and everything. She's just a lot of woman, man. She's just a real strong personality.
Not for me.
Yeah. It's not for everyone. I mean, I'm sure the guy that wants that Man, good for you, but it's a lot. But when they had that fucking barbecue date, and I know that so much of this was editing and probably out of context, but at the end when Sarah Ann and Jeremy were like, do you want to go jet skiing? Like skiing on those fucking jets. And then it's like cutting back hilarious. To like Laura crying was like so fucking funny.
I know. It is really, really funny. I like, you know, I know it's probably sucks, right? Because like in a vacuum, you're kind of like, man, I picked this person. But it's like there is a time where it's like you had to know there was always somebody else they were talking to, right? Like you gotta know, especially now in like the smartphone era. The minute they get out of those pods, they got their phones, you know. And I just, to me, I feel like people get so blindsided. And I know that they spend hours with each other, and it's like, no, you're the one. But like you gotta know that there was always kind of like somebody waiting in the wing, because he didn't share his location. That was that was weird. Like, or he did share his location, but he like lied.
Yeah, I think what strange. He did. He got busted hanging out with Sarah Ann because they went out, because this was filmed in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they went out to the local, you know, the local hotspot or whatever. And then I think he left his phone at the club or in the car or something like that. And then they went to Sarah Ann's place. But I heard a theory online that he still had his Apple Watch, and that's how he got caught, because the Apple Watch still has the location. So I don't know, man. You mean
God? Women do like Philip K. Dick fucking like ways to track their men. No, it's ridiculous.
it's just
like straight up. Like you know, like you hear all these. You know, like we were talking about, like you know, Cy and I were talking about like Bradley Cooper's Limitless. Like I was like, what would women do with like the Limitless pill? And I'm just like, just constant track, like even better tracking of their boyfriends. Like they would just become like, they would like hack street cameras and stuff and like all these things just to find them. They're so good at it. And it's like all tech is just made for like, where are you? It's like, he's out till 5 a.m. You guess. Why do you need like tech to confirm it? Like he's out till 5 a.m. If my wife leaves right now and goes out till 5 a.m. and doesn't tell me where she is, unless there's like an emergency, please come save me from something. I can, the writing's on the wall. Like I know what happened.
No, I've experienced this so much since I started my podcast, and because I do reality shows, so I get a lot of female listeners, which are fucking awesome, but they're so like the fucking shit that they notice. Like, and me being a guy, because I'm gay, but I still have man brain.
Yeah, it's different.
Why are you wearing those shoes? Like most people can't afford those. Why does your daughter have a midriff top on? It's just like this, they just like clock every little thing, and I'm just like, it just fucking does my head in. But back to I'm just getting PTSD from getting fucking harassed by people.
The location thing was dystopian to me. Like, I don't have to do that. Like, we don't do that to each other. And I've been married for a while. So it's like, there's no that like, I know that this is different. They're new. They're making a big commitment
in a short
amount of time. Yeah. But I just, if I felt like somebody needed to track me that much, I'd be like, are you ever going to trust me? Like, or you should just know right away. Like if you have to do they like doing that? Do they like kind of like constantly surveilling people? Like, and just like kind of, I want you to know I'm always watching. Like, is there some kind of like every breath you take? Somebody like Ariana Grande or somebody needs to make like a new every breath you take, like cover, but it's about locations on iPhones and stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it was just like the fucking short amount of time. Like he went out to the club, like they're trying to figure stuff out. But like the way that they set up Sarah Ann, like I remember love AD, but AD like laid into Sarah Ann at that barbecue. And
boy,
And Sarah Ann was like, Sarah Ann was basically breaking the fourth wall, and she was kind of just saying like, look, I dated him too in the pods, and you guys aren't married yet. Like, we're still in this experiment, you know, like I've still got, you know, if I want to pursue this, like, honey, you might be engaged on a TV show, but the relationships are real at the end of the day. So if I want to like pursue this, like until you're fucking married, like it's fair game, honey. And they did try to make out like, oh, Sarah Ann and, you know, Laura were friends and she shouldn't have done that. It's like, dude, they were friends in the context of they were cast on a show together and became friendly when locked in a room. Like, you know, this isn't your lifelong bestie of fucking since high school.
And even if that were the case, this is enough to break that up, by the way. So I know the way they work. Trust me. Yeah.
Jimmy, Chelsea, Trevor, Jess. I mean, Jimmy and Chelsea was the main event of the...
With a police officer haircut, Jimmy had it going on. Massive dick, apparently.
Oh, I thought Jimmy was so hot even before I heard about
really?
The dick. Yeah, I was very attracted
Dude,
to Jimmy.
What is with that? Is it because he looks kind of dumb? Is that does that help?
It's okay. First, the voice, like the voice alone, because it's so deep.
Draw.
Yeah,
draw. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Jess was, you know, Jess is like was. I mean, they made such a big deal about how hot Jess was, and she still was kind of like into him even after seeing that she was out of his league. It's the voice, and then I think at least how it came off in the edit, he just seems so reasonable. It's like, man, I can just act like crazy until, you know, talk me off the ledge and communicate. He's a real good communicator. Like, I don't know, man. He was just, I was into Jimmy.
No, I kind of like that he was just like, nah, I mean, just like if you like lost like 5 pounds, like it'd be cool. You know, like it was just like everything sounded like that. I was, no, I mean, like you just like you have one eye that does this. I mean, I just like I noticed your eye. Is that weird? Like it just like everything was like this weird. He just I know it was again editing. I'm sure it was a lot in this, but he was just like dancing. You knew he had it going on because he could just like be hypercritical of people and still have them be like, why Jimmy, like why, you know, and not like not even mad, but like yeah. And it was, you know, he was a victim of someone saying that they look like Megan Fox. He's a victim. That's 9/11, never forget, as far as I'm saying, like truly, like even before, because I remember you sent me that before I even watched an episode. And I was like, okay, I think we're. I showed it to my wife.
That would have solved you.
I was like, I think we have to. And she's like, yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. And when that happened, I'm just like, and my wife was nice. She was like, well, you know, in some angle, like, I was like, no. He made that decision because he's like, yeah, like, but she did say she looks like Megan Fox. Like, I know what he was thinking. And, when they opened up the door reveal of that was amazing because he's just like, he's not a super emotional guy. Or was he? Even his friend, and he has like girlfriends that he's clearly fucked.
Well, he did. Know? It was one of the plot points was that he fucked one of them.
I know, but I could like that the minute if I was her and we meet up at Buffalo Wild Wings or wherever they were, like when they're there, the minute the two friends come out and they're like, Jimmy's so cool, he tells us everything, I'd be like, that, right then and there, it's like a guy who has like two straight chick best friends, like they've one of them at least has gotten fucked. Like it's just. It's simple math. Like it's just it's I don't know. Not even if they were together or if it was just a bit like one time it happened when they were in between little things or something. For sure. So I was just like with Jimmy, but I did find him hilarious because it was clear. I was like, this guy's got the juice. Like because every girl wants him, and he just doesn't really try that hard, like at all.
He knows it deep down because I've been following his social media now, and I can. He's feeling himself, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, his reaction to the Megan Fox thing was literally one of the funniest things that I've seen. Because first, when he's like, are you saying you look like Megan Fox? He's like, eyes are like bulging. And then after he sees her, and then I didn't think he would admit this to the producers. Like, I didn't think they would kind of address it. And then he's like, oh, she kind of lied to me a little bit there. She said she looked like Megan Fox, but I'm still attracted to her.
Yeah, no, it's like, dude, for me, like, look, I'm a white guy with long hair. There's like, it's like being a black guy to a point where it's like they all think you look like this guy. Whatever white guy with long hair that I've seen, that's what you look like. So, like, for me, if I do say like I look like Jared Leto, like, okay, maybe if we saw each other at the end of the block from far away and you squinted, like, is that Jared Leto? Like, that maybe. But if we get up close, I don't look like Jared Leto. And if I say I look like David Foster Wallace, that's the way to go, because then they're like, oh, well, you look better than David Foster Wallace. Like, oh, man, this guy, you know, like, but you cannot sell yourself as Megan Fox. Well, like, you can't do that. And who told, she's like, oh, people tell me that. I'm like, where?
I could see people saying that. Look, one thing I've noticed from being in the industry is that from people on reality shows and stuff, they usually almost always look more attractive in person, for sure.
Really?
Like, yes, like the party that I went to last week, I remember my friend had made a comment because the cast, the trailer was out, and he was like, oh, you know, they're not that hot compared to like Bravo stuff. And I'm like, oh, I think they just want more like relatable this season. But then when like I went there and I saw them in person, I'm like, wow, these people are like, really good looking. So
wow.
TB makes you uglier, and I could kind of see with, you know, like her hair and from a certain angle, and like people might not be, look, I don't think people are going, you're a dead ringer for Megan Fox, I thought, but they might have, like, she may have gotten like, oh my God, you look a little like Megan Fox. But I mean, she was feeling herself a bit to be bringing that up, which also felt like a little strategy. Like, are you really trying to make it so you'll get picked? And get
that's what I mean. Like, it was like you're building this on a lie. It's like as a guy, that is the equivalent of a guy saying, it's like, I make $1 million a year, and they're like, but then I'm like, well, I have an idea that can make me $1 million a year actually, and it's guaranteed to work. But I told you that so we could get, you know, here, because no, it strikes the same nerve in the brain of a male and female, is me saying I have a bunch of money, and then that guy going, I got Megan Fox, dude. I got Megan Fox, but she doesn't have that attitude like Megan Fox, that I'm too, you know, I'm famous. Like, he's a jackpot. That's what he's thinking. It's ridiculous.
And the way she said it, she went, oh, well, kind of like, oh God, what's her name?
MGK's, from that movie with the toys.
Megan Fox? You say you look like Megan Fox?
Yeah. Like, he's just like, oh, he's like, well, I have like 90 pictures of Megan Fox. I was like, what are you saying? Like, when he does that. It was just so funny, man. Like, it's just,
they did an amazing job with those two, though, with the editing. Because I do feel like they edited Jimmy to be more of the villain at the start. And then obviously as it went on, they made Chelsea look worse, and she got a lot of backlash. She was so clingy. So that was her storyline, was that she was completely clingy and hysterical and overreacted to everything, which I'm sure she did. But like, because I've known people that have done dating shows and have got like bad edits and shit. And I always do try to factor in like, one, there's the editing, and then it's like, it must just be so much pressure. Like they're bringing out like the worst, most stressed out part of you. So I kind of like, because the thing with Chelsea, I've been watching her like post show interviews and stuff. She's so cool and like seems so fun and nice and normal. And even the Megan Fox thing, she's handled that as good as.
Yeah, she laughs. She was laughing about it, I saw.
But like, that's brutal. Okay, think about being a woman. Like, I would kill myself if I went on there and I just mentioned, oh, I look like Chris Hemsworth. And then everyone's like, you don't look like fucking Chris Hemsworth. And people kept going over and over and pointing out how I don't, and making it into memes of, like, the meme is basically saying, you're ugly.
Yeah.
Which, in real life, I'm sure plenty of guys are like, think she's hot and she gets plenty of good looking guys and everything. And to have that shoved in your face constantly, you don't look like Megan Fox, like, and she's still been able to laugh it off. So she seems like a cool person in real life.
Yeah, no, and it's fair. And to be honest, I thought her edits, I could tell that there was a little bit of, I mean, look, all these people, they're single, they're at this late and they're desperate for love. There's clearly something that's gone, that they all have their flaws, as we all do. But I, with Chelsea at the beginning, I kind of thought it was like, okay, they're making Jimmy look like this insensitive, you know, which maybe he is, kind of insensitive, kind of rock of a guy. And then like for a while, I thought Chelsea was getting like kind of good edits for a while. And then they were very, very cinematic with her. The minute Jimmy dropped the C-bomb, the clingy word on her, after hanging out with her friends, like when her friends were there, and it started off with this innocuous conversation of just like, oh, how'd you like my friends? Well, they're so cool. I just really want to fit in with your friends, and they seem nice. And then all of a sudden it just went into like pure, well, all these things. And then, you don't kiss me, you only kiss me twice. And like all these things was insane. Me and my wife were like, whoa. And then he said the clingy thing, and she reacted as though that is the 47,000th time she's heard that from somebody. Like, it was like this, there was this deep truth that hit her, to where she got offended so hard by saying clingy, which I get it. When you're falsely accused of being clingy, that can suck. But I don't think it was false. I think it was, oh no. Oh no, I am. You know,
it's happening again.
Yeah. Like, it's, and I don't think psycho with her, it's different. It's not psycho, I don't think. I just think it's like, look, they called you. He called you that. You probably are. And like, he was funny when he was like, oh, and then like, she's like, well, we had sex. He's like, that was for you. Like, you wanted sex.
Yeah. He was like, I didn't want to. He's like, if we're being honest, like, I didn't want to. I was like, no. Yeah. I was like, he did not fucking say that.
That was incredible. I mean, like, and was like, you know, at some point you have to understand, like, is this guy performing? Like, now that you say
that was real, because I reckon, like, if you think about it, they're so apparently something that had happened with them was like off camera. He had told her, I think after they'd had the big fight where she outed on camera that he had slept with one of his friends, and he was basically like, I can't believe you said that on the show when I told you off camera. And then another off camera conversation, he'd said to her, like, look, I can't handle the cameras, like, this is too much for me, I'm gonna say no at the altar. So he'd already told her, and I think probably if you're filming for hours, like, I remember when Nick from season 2 did his whole lawsuit, and he, you know, still does podcasts about it and stuff. He and Danielle as well, who Danielle was kind of like a OG Chelsea with how
that Joker picture you sent me, the Joker makeup pic. That was so scary, dude.
She's still out there, but she has told stories, and so has Nick, about how, like, they just had to film for like so many hours, and they were literally like so stressed out, and then. So I think it's like that. And then, of course, you're waiting for the person to crack and be like, you know what, if we're being honest, I didn't want to have sex with you, because they just, and then that's the, you know, that's the headline.
After the clingy too, like, just go on your clingy. And then she's like, yeah, but you know, we like had sex. He's like, yeah, I mean, you wanted to, you know, like, and it's rough. It's rough the other way around. Like, you can't drop that one on women ever. Like, that's rough.
But she still got the, like, most people took his side in that, though. So, like, she got brutalized.
I did. I think he's incensed. I think he's, like, the way he delivers it is, like, whoa, you know. But I also, it's like, that's how you talk to somebody you don't really care about. Like, I hate to break it to you. Like, it's just kind of like, I, in the past, like, you know, back in the day, like, there were some conversations where I'm just like, I should just rip the Band-Aid off. This is just retarded. Like, you know, I just like, it, you don't, you feel nothing. Right. Like, and the problem is, I think with women, they have a really hard time with somebody who feels nothing, because they're like, oh, well, I can make him feel something. And it's like, no, somebody else can. Because remember when they went out with Jimmy and her friends, they were like, oh, no, Jimmy's like super sensitive and like fun. And he's like always like sharing his emotions. And it's like that right there. It's he doesn't like you.
Well, that was AD's story, in the sense that she made herself into everything that she felt Clay would want to marry her, and she's a strong woman, and she went into her sort of submissive wifey mode, and then she was also sort of like, half the time she was like a mum to him. He was like, you know, she would cradle his head in her bosom, and she was like, you know, doing everything, and it was still like, nah, like, you can't just, you know, they either feel it or they don't. And Jimmy and Chelsea, there was another woman in that, Jess, who I thought Jess came off really good on the show, but on social media, I can't stand her.
Really?
When you said, did you hate her on the show?
I mean, I could just tell what it was right away. I just was like, oh, I know exactly what she is. But anyways.
Well, when she dropped the EpiPen line, which went super viral, I'm like, that is the most fucking rehearsed shit. Like, she went in there with the producer or whatever, and the producer was like, you know, Jimmy's fucked you over. Like, you've got to go in there and like really, really give it to him. So she came in with that EpiPen speech. And what turned me off of her, was I follow kind of, you know, I follow like the Lovers Blind account and some fan accounts and stuff. And some of the, you know, I'll check some of their social media, see what's going on. And she was just in the comments of every single Lovers Blind post, whether it was another contestant, whether it was a fan page, whether it was her own page. And it's like, she was just so thirsty and so there for the clout. And then I saw that in her bio, she had, you know, how some people have like public figure or whatever. She had comedian. And I'm like, okay, so, and apparently she had like 50K followers on TikTok before she signed up. So it's like, okay, you're here to be I don't think she's there to be a comedian. I think she's there to be a funny mumfluencer on social media.
Oh, the mom thing right away. It was kind of like, oh, like, okay, I hate being this superficial, but she was talking about the mom and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, but you have like hella work done and stuff. Like, yeah, I just like, this is weird for like this, like, and my daughter, she's my life and all that. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll take a tall Sierra Nevada and some lemon pepper wings, please. Yeah. Like, and she just, like, I was like some waitress. I was just like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, this is going to pop out. Like, and she got nasty towards the end. Like, she was like really mean. Like, I,
They had flavors of that. Like the EpiPen speech was basically saying, I'm way hotter than Chelsea, dude. Like, you missed out. And then there was another mean scene somewhere with her. So I think her and, oh yeah, I think when she was chatting to Laura and she was talking about like, oh, I looked up Jimmy and like, yeah, he seemed to me, you know, you could kind of say, all right, you're that girl.
And she was like, what? There was the part where, you know, she's telling Jimmy, he's like, well, if it's me, you better just like, it's got to be all me. And I'm like, that's kind of not how this works. It's the wrong show for it to be like, you need to just, like, she put all her eggs in one basket. You know, it was all about Jimmy. The whole show revolved around Jimmy, which is crazy. Like, you think about it, there were girls that were really like stopping everything. Like, I think guys, like, take notes. Like, people are like, oh, he's such an asshole. And it's tough as a guy because you're just like, but that's, you like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, in small doses, and it doesn't last long. But for guys, it's like, damn, like, take notes. Watch Jimmy and Love is Blind. Because in the pods, they don't know what he looks like. Now, his voice, you say, he's got that kind of Southern gentleman, Texas drawl, little deep voice. Like, perhaps that's probably doing a lot. But he kind of like, man, he had these girls hypnotized.
Well, it's the BDE as well, the big dick energy. Because Chelsea was saying he's had like a Coke can penis or something.
Hammer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He knows it. So he's like, you know what, with this big dick and this deep voice, like, I don't need to put up with your shit. Like, I can get anyone.
Yeah.
And, okay, this guy Trevor, who I clocked as full of shit from the beginning.
Didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming at all.
That's one that I 100% clocked right from the start, because when I saw his big steroid gym body and I went over to his Instagram, and every Instagram post was him in like Speedos, like flexing with like roid bod. And he was just saying all the right things in the pods. I'm like, nah, this guy is fucking full of shit, because my experience with dating shows and knowing a few people now that have been through it is usually the person that has the absolute best edit is the fakest or the worst. And then the person who comes off the worst tends to be sort of the realist and the one that's actually just putting it out there. And then that gives the producers material to edit you as like, you know, the most horrible person on there. And when he came to the reunion though, I felt for him because he was a broken man. He got caught cheating, essentially. He was like the hero edit of like, why didn't Chelsea pick Trevor? He's the perfect man. Yeah. He's so hot. He's
he has a mullet. She wants a mullet. Yeah. And he has a mullet.
Yeah. That was the whole big thing. Oh my God, he has a mullet and muscles. And he's a gentle giant. He's 6'6" and a gentle giant. But, you know, he's built like He-Man. And then he had like another girlfriend. And he just went on the show, I guess, to get on TV. And then he was texting her like, don't worry, like, you know, I'm not going to say yes to anybody at the altar.
What was the dynamic of that? He was like, we were together. She knew I was coming on the show, but we were together. I was like, I don't think that's what happened.
Well, you know what? I know someone that did happen to, and it was legit, and they're married with a kid now. So I won't say who it is because I don't want
to
air out their business, but they went on a major dating show in Australia, and then I became friendly with them. Sort of, I got introduced to a mutual friend, and then it came out kind of during the show that he had a secret girlfriend. I think I gave him some advice on how to kind of like bury it because I was trying to turn us friendly with him, and he pretty much explained to me. Because he got eliminated from the show, but then he went in a fake showmance with one of the other girls from there that he'd been dating on the show. And they were setting up like paparazzi photos together to make it look like they were still together. But he was kind of saying to me, look, dude, my girlfriend's getting a bit sick of this. Like, she gave me a pass to do the show because I think she might have cheated on him, or she had done something. Like, they'd had some fuck up in the relationship where he's like, well, you know what? They asked me to go on this show and I'm doing it, and that was his like free pass. And then he milked what he could out of it, and then he went back to real life and he stopped, you know, I think he realized that it's pretty hard to become a influencer and to turn that into a career. And now they're like married and have a baby and like super happy together couple. So, you know, it happens.
Wow. Yeah. And then, but with this Trevor guy, it was just like, he was just like this blubbering, sensitive guy, which is probably how he gets away with like this little
gaslighting, toxic masculinity.
Because he cries like a big sensitive boy, like a big Marvel character, you know. Well,
I think he is. Like at the reunion though, I was buying it. I felt like he is kind of broken. He's like, I am toxic. I'm like, oh, and you know what? I think a guy that is actually secure in himself, you're not doing that many fucking steroids and your Instagram doesn't look like that if you're confident. Like that to me screams insecure of like, I'm trying to compensate for something.
Yeah, he needs to start a grift, detoxifying Trevor, and podcast where he has like just self-help healing people on there. You can start with me, Trevor. You can invite me on and I'll let you know what I think. And then, and he could just like blubber and cry every episode. And then I think that's the way to, cause that was where I thought he was. Cause why do you agree to go to the reunion? Like to have, cause he could have, I'm sure they would have brought it up regardless. Like even if he wasn't there, but he didn't have to sit through that. That felt elective.
I think one, they probably just would have said, no, Trevor, first, he probably got paid to be there. Secondly, I think they would have said, no, this is your chance to like get your side of the story out. Trust me, like you just want to address it, which actually is good advice because some people on reality shows, they're in the hot seat and then they do a runner and it's like, no, dude, the way to face is like you face it, you address it and then you can like move forward. So I think it's good advice. But, you know, when he sat there at the reunion, he was like, I had a whole thing planned to say. And then he was just like speechless and they're all, you could hear a pin drop and everyone's just sitting there and like and he couldn't talk. So I think he had this whole thing planned of how he was going to explain it and then it didn't come through. But, you know, when Sarah Ann got to the reunion, they had so many of the questions were just done in a way to try and make her look like a piece of shit. Like they brought out this like TikTok that she did where she was saying the show is entertainment and they're like, oh, so you just think this is all fake? Like, were you just doing this for, you know, the show? And it's like, no, dude, like she was just trying to say like, basically, you know, it's editing and just have fun with it. And like, because, you know, if you look at the comments that these people get from the fucking Karens at home watching, like it's one thing for us to come on here and like rip on them on a podcast or whatever. But like, you know, people are going to their fucking Instagram and just leaving. Yeah. How could you do that to so-and-so? Yeah, and like, you're so selfish. It's like, dude, it's a fucking edited, like produced show, guys. Like,
yeah, you rely on it like for dopamine. Like your life does not, like if they canceled it tomorrow, you'd chimp out about it. Like, so don't like, you need this, you need to feel this way. Yeah, I know. To me, it's like at the end of the day, it's all just, it is all just entertainment. It's like, I want an entertaining season. Like, I don't want an ethical Love is Blind season. I don't want everyone to behave like adults. I want, you know, to see people slowly broken down by commitment and then all their flaws come out. That's what the show's about.
Straight up. Have you seen them doing this sort of celebrity round since? So Jimmy got on Jimmy Fallon. He was like with the Roots doing a bit. Yeah, they had him on there. They did a they did some kind of like Love is Blind like parody or whatever on SNL. Like this season really took off in a way that it hasn't. I know you haven't seen the first season, which until this season was actually the best one. And that season exploded because that premiered like right at the start of lockdown. So when everyone was, you know, in their homes and that had a really shocking couple that you couldn't kind of was like a perfect love story. Like, and actually not boring. It was like, they were like weird and a mismatch and it was an interracial thing. But it was like the perfect, you know, it was so good. And then I kind of felt like it started declining a bit in the last few years in terms of like cultural relevance. And then this season has just fucking gone off. I think it was like the most streamed one, that they've had. I want to spin off like following some of the people. Like,
they need to have one transgender per season. Oh. Like, no, but it needs to be in like a Portland, San Francisco. It has to be there because the guys have to really get conflicted. They got to be like, well, I mean, it doesn't matter. Love is blind. Like, you know, you got to, like, I want it. It needs to be like that. They need to, like, launder one in, like, a real passing one. And then in the pods where you just cannot tell. And, or maybe you can tell, but you don't want to be, like, impolite. And then, they need to do that. And then, also, I meant to ask you, there is a petition to get Nick Lachey and his wife off of the show as hosts. What do you think of that? I have my issues with them, but I'm like, who else? Who else is going to host?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know who I think they do a pretty good job. And they're trying to, I think the producers are trying to involve them a little bit more, because just they try to get them now to be a little bit more aggressive at the reunions, to like go after the people and shit, and you know, respond to the social media. I'm friendly with Heidi and Spencer from The Hills, so I kind of like want them to do it, but actually, I think they're a little too. I think the fact that Vanessa and Nick are kind of boring like works well for the format.
So boring.
And I think that's good for the show. Like,
they have that like fake, they have that like weird like AI Westworld marriage that like John Legend and Chrissy Teigen have, like where it's just like not, you're just like, would you guys, do you guys just have to do Sims things around the house like all day? Like,
Nick,
what are your arguments, you know?
Nick always seems so insincere. Like, he always seems like he's reading off a cue card or whatever. Like, nothing he says sounds like a sincere human being.
He's always been that way too, even since I remember back in the Newlywed show, like he was totally like that. Like, just like who, he just felt like this like complete like spawn at the age that he was at. He doesn't look any older at all, and he just like was spawned there and was just like, you were here to be just nothing basically. And I you know, to me it's like, to replace him, I'm like, who's it gonna be? I do like kind of rolling my eyes at some of their little like couples things that they say with each other.
Yeah,
they're
corny shit.
Oh, they're so corny.
When they have like banter and stuff. Yeah, it's like
their banter.
When they had them at the start of the reunion in the pods together and they were trying to like be funny. Yeah, one last thing. So I started in the middle of this season, actually, while I was trying to wait for the drop of new episodes, I finally started watching one of the foreign ones because I've always wanted to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And I started watching Love is Blind Sweden. I only got halfway through and now I've got to pick it back up. It's really fucking good. Yeah. And one of the things about it, there's more of a disparity in the looks, which... So I can see now why on the American one, because one of the things people complain about with the US one is they go, oh, everyone is like, you know, pretty attractive. I mean, sometimes they throw in a bad apple, but people go, oh, you know, everyone's, you know, pretty much going to be attracted to each other. And now I get why they do it, because it's just unfair to surprise and just have really someone you're not. And they've done that on the Swedish one, where there's this woman that she's just like, she does have an awesome personality. I'll give her that. She has a fucking awesome personality, but like, dude, her teeth are like fucked up. She looks like her teeth are really bad. And she looks like 15 years older than she actually is. And like, she's really fucking horny too. And the guy she got is like, has like a killer body and is like really hot. And he's like, trying to, because he's like, well, her personality's awesome, and she's just like trying to fuck him the whole time. And yeah, they have some, I don't know, it's interesting because it's European, like, because they're Swedish, they have a different attitude towards sex, like they're a lot more open talking about that kind of stuff. And there's a big scandal where I don't fully know how it plays out, but there's some like crazy like pregnancy thing. Like, I think one of them gets some other girl pregnant, but then she stays with it. It's good. Like, it's worth it.
Damn, Love is Blind IKEA. I'll check it out. Yeah.
They make some jokes about IKEA. One of them is,
says, I love that they're self-aware.
Yeah.
They're real self-aware.
One of them says, oh, I'm really into interior design. And she's like, so no IKEA? And he's like, absolutely not. So...
He's like, hell no. How dare you? Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming back on and breaking down Love is Blind with me again. I'm sure we'll be watching the next season. I think the next one is in, I've heard rumors of Minneapolis and
George Floyd. Nice.
Yeah. Maybe that's not such a good choice, actually.
No, that's where I want the transgender one. Please give me the one. It's got to be one. Like, not even like Jeffree Star, like it's got to be like just a real passing, like kind of one. And like, I want the guy to just be like, are you, I just gotta like ask, like, are you, you know? And like,
they should get one that is she's hotter than every other chick in there, like
that's
the
what hottest, I mean, like, yeah. Like, it's got to be like, it can't just be, you know, the other kind. Yeah.
Get Blair White.
So, yeah, that's what I mean, like it's got to be that tier. And then, like, you know, all of a sudden you go through the kid's house, you know, the parent's house, and you see, like, who's that younger brother? Where's the, I don't see the younger brother anymore. And then it's like, oh, Yeah. Well,
They did that on Married at First Sight UK. They put a transgender bride, ooh, but the marriages aren't legal on that one. And yeah, the show is like a piss take. So it's not, you know, it's just like drama of like,
and it's tough for, yeah, and you're not going to get like somebody probably with the best personality who's down to basically put themselves in that situation, you know?
Like, well, it's just one of those weird clout chasing, like thirsty, right, crazy, like trannies that's just like drama, yeah, you know?
Which no one's going to fall for in the pods. So yeah, that's the quandary, I suppose. Yeah. Just Minneapolis. I'm in. We'll do it. Yeah.
And I saw they're looking at Michigan as well. I don't know what the vibe is in Michigan, but
yeah, that can go either way. That can be like Ted Nugent, like, you know, or I don't know, because Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, they're all from Michigan, so yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
you go like in the wood outside of Detroit, and then like, you know, outside of the big cities, like Michigan's got some people. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let everyone know what you're doing, where they can find you, what you've got going on Rare Candy. You know, it's one of my favorite pods. I actually haven't listened to it for a while because I haven't listened to any pods for a while, actually, because I've been so caught up in moving, you know, to another country. But I did listen to the Ben Braddock episode last night, and yeah, no, I love your show. So let people know what's up.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. We are always doing something. So the big thing is Rare Candy. It's a podcast. You can get it on Apple, Spotify. We do a free episode every week, and then we do a paid one as well. That's through Substack. We're always weird and different and do different things, so it'll be on Substack. That's rarecandy.substack.com. You could subscribe for free or do the paid on there. We talk about anything and everything. I mean, it's really, really tough to say what it is, because it's whatever we want it to be. It's kind of like a TV channel, just say it that much. Where, you know, certain times a day, flipping the channels, like, oh, that show's on, you know. That's kind of the way we are. And it's always fun to come on here, because I probably would never talk about this show in at length on RC, but my wife and I go out of our way to watch it, so.
Yeah, I love having you on, and yeah, you're one of my favorite guests. You've been on four times. So yeah, guys, check out Rare Candy. And I think I'm going to drop another episode here next week, guys. Probably going to recap the Valley with, I won't tell you who, but I've got some people planned. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Bye.
See ya.